selling was terrifying to me because I, like many people, tied my own self-worth to the sale. I remember thinking that I wasn't worth $5,500. And that's what happens with a lot of our practitioners in the beginning is we just tie our own self-worth there.
Nicole Collicott is VP of Service at Freedom Practice Coaching, helping health practitioners grow thriving businesses. She's passionate about showing that real impact comes from vulnerability, not perfection.
What was your original mindset around this idea of selling and converting individuals?
Sales conversation, which we call the wellness evaluation, walking the patient through what they don't want and what they want, I think is really the biggest piece. Once I saw that, the money was easy.
Our clients are going to hear those numbers and go, what are they doing for $10,000? And how could I possibly have a conversation about that type of money with somebody sitting in front of me that I barely know?
Most practitioners don't want to talk about money. Most people don't want to talk about money. It took a lot of work and me looking in the mirror and dealing with my own stuff to be able to get to that place.
Welcome to the Freedom RX podcast. I am Seth Conger, your host for today. And today I'm joined by our VP of Service, Nicole Collicott. Nicole has been with Freedom Practice Coaching for longer than I have. We were actually clients together way back in the day and shared a lot of similarities in the practices that we were running, the work that we were doing back in the day. And now I have the ultimate pleasure to work side by side with Nicole on our leadership team. Nicole, it's so awesome to have you here today. And we're going to be tackling a really awesome topic that is quite scary for practitioners, which is how to sell and the mindset around that, the techniques around that, the programming around it, and why it's actually not as hard as most practitioners think. So, Nicole, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this conversation, Seth.
So before we jump into how you handle it today, I want to go back to when you were a health coach and you were in a role of actually having to talk to patients day to day and put them into programs. And what was your original mindset around this idea of selling and converting individuals? And how did that change over time while you were still in practice?
In the very beginning, I think that selling was terrifying to me because I, like many people, tied my own self-worth to the sale. So at that time, when we were just getting started, my business partner and I had programs that were around 6 months for $5,500. And I remember thinking that I wasn't worth $5,500 or that I couldn't provide that kind of value. And that's what happens with a lot of our practitioners in the beginning is we just tie our own self-worth there. So what I did know, however, was that people needed somebody to listen to them, that it was possible for them to do something different with their health. I had my own health journey, which is why I got into this line of work in the first place. And I wasn't getting the answers that I needed in the insurance model. And so I knew there was a reason to work this way. And I think that's what got me over the hump to at least get started. And I also believed in the mentors that I had at that time, which was FPC, because I was a client first. And I believed in the model and I saw it working for other people. And so that pulled me through until I actually started seeing results. And it really wasn't until I started seeing people get off of their medication and reverse their diabetes and lose the weight and keep it off and reverse the autoimmune condition. Once I saw that, the money was easy. Like it no longer got into my head. I realized this was the biggest gift that one of these patients could give themselves. And at the end of the day, it saved them money. So that shift actually happened fairly quickly for me, but it took a lot of work and me looking in the mirror and dealing with my own stuff to be able to get to that place.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to think about, right? Because it's not just this single moment. It's not just one conversation that you have with a patient. It's not just the quote unquote money conversation. We'll talk about that later on in this conversation. But there's a whole journey around this. And there is what we call kind of like the patient buyer journey or the member buyer journey. Walk us through that, because it's not just that single moment. There's a bunch of things that actually lead up to this point, and then come after this as well, that are just as critical as the single conversation that you have when you actually put a price tag in front of the patient.
From the practitioner's point of view, you want to be able to create the journey for the patient or potential practice member to go through. So they have to start, the practice member has to start thinking about the fact that life could look different. Because most people who walk around with diabetes, for instance, that are on more than 10 medication, they have other family members, other friends, other neighbors that are also in that same boat. And they survive by telling themselves that there is no other way. So that's where their head is at typically. So we have to take them on a journey of recognizing that they could break out of that, that there is the possibility of reversing these things, that they could lose the weight. And so that all happens in the pre-education process. So I tell practitioners that we're working with that the actual sales conversation, if we want to call it that, should be easy. It really should feel like an interview to determine if that person, the patient, is ready to make changes to get back control of their health. Because if they're pre-educated properly, they're now sitting in front of you talking about what they're really afraid of happening in the future and what they want. And it's a very impactful conversation. I love that conversation because I think of that as the opportunity to change somebody's life. I don't think of that as a transaction or a sale. But in the beginning, it really feels like you're having to learn a sales model. And most practitioners don't want to talk about money. Most people don't want to talk about money. And one of our practitioners actually told me this once upon a time. He's now very successful in this model. He sells over $7,000, $10,000 even dollar programs really well. But he told me that the most hated people are salespeople, and he didn't want to be a salesperson. And that's how everybody feels. Like, so if you're looking at this as a transaction, you're going to be stuck. If you look at it as a journey that you're taking this person on to help them change their life and break out of the mold that they've been stuck in, then it feels very different energetically, and it becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, I remember also, because I was in this position and would do those conversations and feeling very much going into this, like I didn't want to be a used car salesman, right? Like, that's the scariest thing for me. This is not why I'm here. No one wants to do this. I mean, I can't imagine going in and being like, well, but for you today, we're going to give you, you know, 15% off because you showed up on a Friday. That's not exactly the model that we're teaching here. But there is a system to it, right? And I think the system, you mentioned this, an interview, it's more of an interview to see if they're the right fit for you and if they're willing to do the work to get the outcome or the results that they want. But there's a system in place to kind of walk them through that journey. Give me a few points on there that are really helpful in that system, right? You talked about pre-education, and we have a whole, you and I have done an entire podcast interview on the pre-education side as well. So if people want more, they can go check that out. But inside that, you know, sales appointment, quote unquote, what are a few of those pieces in that system that really have a big impact that individuals wouldn't necessarily think about?
In the sales conversation, which we call the wellness evaluation. So really, again, going into that being an interview, walking the patient through what they don't want and what they want, I think is really the biggest piece that can turn this into a feeling like an interview and actually being very impactful for the person in front of you, regardless if they move forward or not. So I always tell our practitioners, think of this as an opportunity to change their life. Don't even think about the close. Right? You're really trying to influence them to be making changes. It will make logical sense for them to move forward with you and make changes with you because you're right in front of them. They need to feel very heard by you to trust that. But if you do the conversation properly, they will. But something that's missed often is really walking people through the path of what they don't want to happen and what they do want to happen. So when I was in practice, one of the questions that we asked in this interview was, in 3 to 5 years, where are you going to be if you don't take care of your problem? And at least 20% of people I was seeing at that time wrote dead in that at that question. And you would be sitting in front of somebody, I would be sitting in front of somebody that definitely does not look like they're not going to be here in 3 to 5 years, but that's really how they felt. And it was a really true statement. And that was very eye-opening for me. And when I would have the conversation with people, and you have to be willing to go there and have that conversation and explore why they're really feeling that way, you would find out that they were admitting for the first time that they knew that if they didn't make changes, that they weren't going to be living the life that they wanted to, or they weren't going to be here. You know, they might feel like they're going to be in a wheelchair. They might feel like they just won't be able to get up and down to, you know, play with their grandkids on the floor or whatever it was for them. But being able to explore that place of what they don't want is really important, because most people will make steps to move away from what they don't want more than they will to just move towards what they want. So if you just focus on losing the weight, you just focus on getting off the medication, that's not allowing them to emotionally connect to the reasons why that you need to make changes. And I would say for everybody listening, like, to me, this is a opportunity to allow that person to connect to something deeply so they will actually change their life. Like, that's what this actually does for me, more than me just trying to get a sale. Like, that's not really what it's about. I'm not just trying to move somebody into a program, but this one conversation I'm having is going to dictate how they operate through the program of care that I'm putting together for them. So just really exploring that piece, I think, is the most important step.
Yeah, we were talking earlier this week about a client, actually, who was having a pretty challenging time with this sales appointment, and through coaching was able to break through with that. Can you give us a little bit more about that backstory that we were chatting about?
We always try to give scripts, or we give role play examples, or we'll have practice conversations so our practitioners and our clients can learn how to, you know, navigate certain things. But sometimes clients will take a quote I said or another coach said and try to use it all the time. And that's what was happening with this client in particular that Seth's talking about. They were using this line, and it wasn't until I listened to just them talk through the conversations that they were having and realized they kept coming back to the same words, which don't apply to everybody. So, and this happens to a lot of clients where they feel like they're just really trying to study and understand how to have a sales conversation. And they say things that it's because it's how they're delivering it that just does it. It feels salesy. It feels like the used car salesman, like you mentioned. So that happened to a particular client that then finally had a breakthrough, but it does happen all the time.
So you mentioned in that reviewing, right? And you're like, I was reviewing this client's work and came across this. You know, we could have brushed past that, but I think it's really important to understand this is something that happens quite often, right, in our coaching program, that we're actually reviewing recordings of real live rounds of our practitioners having conversations with potential practice members sitting right in front of them and providing them real feedback. So it's not just handing out scripts. It's not just role playing with the coach and then seeing how you're doing. We're actually reviewing real live transcripts and videos to understand mannerisms and body language and tonality and all of these pieces that are so important in building that relationship in the beginning. And you have an entire team of coaches that are working at Freedom Practice Coaching. How do you think, like, take us a little behind the scenes? Like, how do we manage all of that? How do we do all of that for our clients to make sure that they're set up for success?
Yeah. Well, honestly, from the coaching perspective with the whole team of coaches, I really feel like we end up doing more personal development type coaching than business coaching, even though we're all business coaches. And part of that personal development is understanding why we have resistance to certain areas. And this whole conversation around sales is the biggest area of resistance for every person that we work with. We have a lot of what I like to call bleeding hearts in our community, people who really became practitioners because they want to care for people. And that's all that they want to do. So having them have to realize that they have to build a business in order to help people the way they want to help people, because they can't do it in insurance or in the hospital or working for a big clinic, that's scary for them in itself. So they have a lot of potential blocks in their future. And we've worked with so many people at this point that we can anticipate what those things are going to be. And in the sales conversation, and really, this whole model, you have to work towards mastering communication and mastering connection. And the good news is this doesn't just help for the business or help for moving forward and working with patients, but it also helps in all areas of our clients' lives. So we want to hear everything. You know, we want to listen to how they're communicating with their team, how they're communicating on the phones, how they're interacting with their patients or potential practice members, because being able to see where they're missing connection is important. And remember, you know, most practitioners aren't taught communication. They're not taught this sort of connection in what they're going to school. They know so much clinically that it can become hard for them to create that emotional connection and want to go there with patients and with, you know, other people in their lives too. So behind the scenes, we're analyzing what's happening with our clients and why they might be stuck, what ahead is going to be difficult for them based on their personality. And our whole model is built on transparency with every person that we're working with. So that way we can help to the greatest degree.
So I've done everything right in my conversation with the prospect who's sitting in front of me, and I think they're going to sign. Then all of a sudden they say, I need to think about it. This is something that comes up quite often, and we actually do a lot of work around what our founder and our mutual mentor, Dr. Charles Webb, calls taking the swords off the table. How do we think about these areas of resistance or these blockers that can come up during that conversation? Typically, many times right at the end, when you think you actually are past that point and you've got it in the bag. How do we think about that? And give me some specifics around that, and maybe even some situations that you've coached on recently where this has come up.
Any clients listening to this will laugh when they hear me say that I want to haunt the person in front of me, because I use this language a lot. But that actually came from Charlie, our founder of FPC, haunting me. And I remember sitting in trainings with him when I was a client and watching him do a role play example of this sales conversation where he asked the person who was playing the husband to if he would be willing to go get a part-time job so that way they could fund this program. And I remember sitting there and everything in my body was thinking I would never say something like that. Like, it was so outlandish. And I have many examples of Charlie saying something that I thought that I could or would never say. But the reason that those interactions haunted me is because when I watched him doing it, it was so authentic. He was coming from the right place. He was really actually fighting for the person in front of him. And that's why it bothered me so much. And I always thought about it, because he was really serving that individual in this circumstance. So we're talking about somebody who, you know, their health is getting worse. They might have another heart attack. They're on all these medications. Medical expenses add up, even when people are stuck in the insurance model. So it actually made sense that he was going there and having this conversation, but it felt so bold and it would make me feel so uncomfortable that I thought that I would never do that. And then here I am now talking about sales and teaching it to a ton of people. But so I found myself learning how to go there. And what really worked for me was understanding how to say it my own way and really connect to why I might say something. So when I'm in a conversation with a potential practice member, I'm looking at them, and through that conversation, I'm looking for the thing that I want to fight for them. And so then at the end, if they say something like, we need to think about it, I know that I would never offer if I didn't feel very confident that this person could get to their goals and that this program is the best thing for them to move forward with. So that's my own integrity. So if I offered and they say that, I'm going to explore why they might need to think about it or what's there. And I've created enough connection with them at this point that they never feel like I'm pushing them or selling them or trying to convince them of anything, because I truly am not. I'm truly really trying to fight for them, because we all know that people, as soon as they leave an interaction, especially if it has to do with bettering their health and their life, they're actively talking themselves out of it. They want to go back to what's comfortable. People don't want to make changes. They want the magic pill. That's why we have such a pharmaceutical country that we do. Like, people want that quick fix. And so I know that, and I'm willing to go there. But clients, every single day, we have workshops twice a week just on this conversation, on how to have these sales conversations or the interview. And people always ask, well, what do you say? What happens when somebody says that we need to think about it? And my favorite day as a coach is when we have another client that shares, like, I had this person say I need to think about it, or say that they were going to, you know, go home and pray on it, or they had to talk to somebody else, and then they overcame that, you know, and they recognized that they laid everything on the table. Because when you leave everything on the table, now that person, you can be haunting them in the fact that they could change their life if they wanted to. So instead of that person leaving and you feeling like, oh man, I wish I would have said this, because I used to always feel Charlie would have said this, like, I didn't go there, but I know he would have said this. He could have changed that person's life. And I wanted to work on myself so I could always change their lives. And that's what our clients are now doing too.
You mentioned it earlier in the conversation, and I picked up on it. And I'm so desensitized to the dollar amount because of the work that you and I have done for so many years. You said one of our clients is regularly selling $7,000, $10,000 programs. I remember when I started with FPC, the idea of a $6,000 program was outlandish. We were selling $150 office visits in a cash fee-for-service model. And you know, you could get a procedure for like $350, and that was it. And within 2 years, we were selling $25,000 programs. And it was, you know, pretty quick. And I've become desensitized since then. So I don't even think about it when you say those numbers, $7,000, $10,000. It just feels like the patient on the other end of that program is probably going to get a really good outcome that they want to achieve, right? Like, that's how that calculates in my mind. But I think other listeners, especially listeners who are not our clients, are going to hear those numbers and go, what are they doing for $10,000? And how could I possibly have a conversation about that type of money with somebody sitting in front of me that I barely know? How do you break that down to new clients who are in when they have that kind of reaction?
Kind of reminds me of where I started, which was that I needed to see the results until I got really good at this. So we have, you and I now know the value that somebody gets. I had, at one point, we had a lot of nice people, nice girls working for our office, and they always wanted things to be as easy as possible for patients. So the concept of money and them not being able to use insurance was really, really difficult. And a lot of our clients come to us and they already have fee-for-service that's underpriced, or direct primary care that might be causing them to have a hamster wheel where they have to have so many patients just to be able to keep the doors open, or insurance as well. And so they're not used to having to have the conversation, and they come with us with the belief that people won't pay and that they can't pay, and they want to be able to serve everybody. And I would say that that's a normal place to start. And that's where I started too in the beginning. But when you start seeing somebody transform their life, it becomes easier. We had a woman, her name is Debbie, who was a member or an insurance patient of my business partner's cardiology practice. And she had known him for a long time. She was diabetic. He had been talking to her about making lifestyle changes forever in the insurance model. And she was just never doing the things that she needed to do. So when she finally came to us for a wellness evaluation and joined a program, by that time she had gastroparesis. She was potentially going to need to amputate one of her toes. Like, things had gotten so much worse. And luckily she made the investment. It saved her a ton of money by doing that, by the way, because she didn't have to spend money on the amputation, on the hospital visit, on everything else. But I remember her testimonial talking about the value of the program and how it was underpriced. She kept saying the words like, it's underpriced, that like, this was the best investment she ever made. And so when you have those experiences, it becomes easy to desensitize the amount of money, whether it's $7,000, $10,000, $25,000, or $2,000. You know, the investment really doesn't matter. It's about what do you need financially to create a business to be able to serve people the way you want to serve people? And we have a whole calculator behind the numbers. So it's not just randomly picking what a program should look like. There are a lot that goes into that. So that way you can serve people the way you want to. But it takes time. So anybody listening, I would just say, be patient with yourself. And it's completely normal if you're in a place of working within the insurance model and not getting reimbursed and just struggling with your business where you don't understand how to be able to get the freedom that you want in the first place without just seeing more and more and more people. And if you're anything like where my business partner was at, he was just on this hamster wheel and trying. And every conversation he had, he was trying to get people to change their life. But people need more than that one logical conversation. They really do need somebody to coach them and guide them through the steps. Because what we're talking about, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, detox, this might be normal to everybody listening because this is the world that you're in within functional medicine and wellness, but it's not the world that the patients live in. You know, they're being marketed to all the time by the next quick fix, and they don't know where to go. And so the investment matters. It also puts some skin in the game for them and allows them to say that the next 6 months, all I'm doing is focusing on this and I'm worth it. And imagine how that can change somebody's life. Because those of you listening, I'm sure that many people already struggle with their own self-worth, which is why the whole idea of selling programs is something that is scary for a lot of us in the first place.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I found eventually that the number didn't matter. The fact that it was a cash sale was the thing that we had to overcome and like get over that hump. And so we have a lot of practices that are on membership that work with Freedom Practice Coaching, and it's $149 a month, right? Or it's $250 a month. It's not $10,000 upfront payment. And it's still that same conversation, right? Because it's still moving away from, but doesn't my insurance cover that? Which, by the way, most of the time it doesn't anyway, and you receive a bill in the mail later on. But that's a whole different conversation. It's just creating that relationship. And I think you said it really well earlier in this. It's building that connection, right, with the individual in front of you to show them that this is something different, quite different than what they've experienced before. And for that, there's a trade, right? There's a trade of money. There's a trade of time. There's a trade of focus and effort and energy that's going to help them get to that outcome that they want to achieve. I think you said that really beautifully earlier in just developing that connection with the individual in front of you. As we kind of get to wrapping this up, is there any one particular tip that you would give somebody who's just thinking about this in the first place? Like, oh man, I'm going to have to sell and this is resonating with me. And I realize that I'm going to have to do this if I want to get my patients to the outcome that they also want to achieve and I want to achieve. Like, what's that one thing that can really set them up for success?
I'm going to give two things. One thing is focus on how you really, if you could just focus on how you want to help people and how you want to help transform somebody's life, you will realize through that the model that you have probably isn't going to allow you to serve people that way. You know, and that realization can then allow you to warm up to the idea of doing something differently. And as long as you're connecting to why you want to help, how you want to help, then the communication and talking with people gets a lot easier. And even the money piece can get easier. But the second thing I wanted to say is don't soft sell. Don't shy away from talking about the money, because this is so important, because I think it's what most people actually do. My pediatrician, I have a 7.5-month-old, which Seth knows now, but I did a newborn concierge type program, and our pediatrician is amazing. But the whole journey, and she's not a client, but the journey we went through to become patients, because she didn't want to have the aggressive sales conversation, if you will, she just put it all on us to follow up, you know? So I knew the model. I knew I wanted to make an investment in a program. So of course I moved forward, but because she didn't like wrap us up on that call, or she let me know if we wanted to move forward, we could or not, it actually made it harder for me to make that decision and move forward. So a lot of practitioners don't want to do a soft sell. They don't want to do the whole package. They don't want to put somebody on the spot because they think that's actually serving that person. But really, it's actually making it more uncomfortable for that person in front of you. So I'd say, like most practitioners, if you're sitting in the office with somebody and you know that that patient needs to do something with their health, you have no problem telling them very directly, this is what you need. And so if you move into any sort of cash model, don't lose that. Don't lose that directness of this is the thing for you. Because at the end of the day, the patient that you're talking to in a cash model, they're interviewing you at the same time. Can this person be my guide? Can this person be my mentor? And a good mentor is somebody who says that uncomfortable thing and allows and pushes them to make the commitment if that's what's necessary. So if you really want to serve people, dive into that conversation.
Oh, what incredible advice. Thank you for the bonus tip, even when I asked for just one. Nicole, this is an amazing conversation. I've had the pleasure of getting to watch you do this on stage and literally like live coaching our clients in a ballroom of a couple hundred people. I've seen you do this one-on-one, gotten to see this in workshops, and I've seen our other coaches who are fluent in this as well. It's really amazing because when I was a client, it used to just be Charlie, right? Charlie was the guy. He was the one who knew how to sell. He was the one who could coach anybody through it. And now we have literally half a dozen coaches who are all as good at that, who are just amazing at walking the practitioner through this interview process and all the different components of it. And of course, all the curriculum and the recordings and the documents and all the strategies behind it. So Nicole, thank you for sharing all this information, because normally this is, you know, behind the paywall, and it's really impactful and important information to get out there in the world. So thanks for your time today. Listeners, thank you for being on here. If you want more conversations like this, just hit the subscribe button that is on the bottom here. We're streaming this on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you get these long form conversations. And send us some notes, put some comments on here. What would you like to hear more about? Because we're always open for those suggestions and deeper conversations in any area, whether it's with a member of our team like Nicole, one of our clients, or one of our esteemed partners. So thank you, Nicole. Thank you for your time today. And we look forward to having more of these conversations soon.